Blog Talk Radio.
As always, we hope we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. As for us, we are doing just fine. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have the honor and the pleasure of speaking with Mr. T.C. Cosley. Mr. T.C. Cosley is the president and founder, along with Jan Cosley, or Jan Emanuel Cosley. They are the founders of the United States Black Cavalry Family. The United States Black Cavalry Family is actually a motorcycle riding club. They're not a motorcycle club, so they don't have the MC on their jacket, but they are actually a motorcycle riding club. Now, a lot of you might want to know what the difference is. Well, when TC comes on, maybe we'll actually get to that, or maybe I'll actually address a bit of that myself. But basically, the difference between a motorcycle club and a riding club is basically how the club is set up. It's how they're organized. It's, you know, whether they have a whole bunch of different bylaws, rules, regulations, all of those things. And in most cases, a motorcycle club and a riding club are very, very similar. But usually a riding club doesn't have as many rules, as many meetings, and isn't as strict. Now, don't get me wrong. When it comes to being able to run and handle both, TC is clearly the man because he was also the president of one of the largest motorcycle organizations in the United States, and that organization presently has about 100 chapters. But TC broke off from that particular group and started his own group, which is the Black Cavalry Family. Today, what TC is supposed to be talking with us about, or is going to be talking with us about, it's not only about the organization, their goals, missions, and all of the above, but he's also going to give us a little bit of history. And since this is February, Black History Month, it is the perfect time to actually touch on that area. So, you know, when I talk about TC, I talk about him, I don't know if you hear this or not, with a lot of respect. And I do, because this is a guy that truly talks the talk and walks the walk. You know, he's also another person that is very proud of his heritage, very proud of his history. He's also a retired E-9 from the Air Force. So he's you know, been around. He knows about the military. Even though he wasn't in the Army, he was in the Air Force. He still reached the highest enlisted rank in that service, which is not an easy feat. You know, you don't meet too many E-9s nowadays. You know, even though all of us can only do about 20 years in the military, as you go up through the ranks, as I'm sure that most of you know, the amount of opportunities or slots for promotion gets slimmer and slimmer because the requirements become more and more stringent. And again, TC is one of those people that has had met all of the requirements and then had an illustrious service in the Air Force as a E-9. You know, during the time that he was in the United States Air Force. Well, after TC got out of the Air Force, he, you know, retired, got into law enforcement, did law enforcement for a while, then retired again and got into, you know, trying to enjoy some more of life. And when he was trying to enjoy some more of life, he basically took, I think, more than a year off just to help to grow the motorcycle club that he was a part of, which was the Buffalo Soldiers. And I'm one of those people that, you know, even though TC wasn't the original founder of the club, a gentleman by the name of, they call him Dreammaker, is the actual president of that organization, or he's presently the president and the founder of that organization. I truly believe that TC was one of the dominant forces in growing the Buffalo Soldiers and Troopers motorcycle organization into the size that it is, also adding a lot of his own personal integrity to that organization and to that club, and growing it to where it's world known worldwide and respected, not only here in the United States, but abroad. Anyway, as I was saying, TC is the founder of the United States Black Cavalry Family, or AKA the USBCF, and that is an organization that will dedicate and is dedicated, along with TC, dedicating itself to making a difference in our local communities, not by handing out money, but by physically giving and giving a helping hand to those that need it, while they hope to impact the entire community for each place where there is a where there is a United States Black Cavalry Family, as we, of course, plan to grow to as many places as possible. They want to place special emphasis on veterans because, again, it's to honor our veterans. The club is to honor our veterans, and a lot of the members in the club are members of the military and law enforcement and all of the above. But I like to say that we're, I guess you could say, kind of a veterans club, but we're open to everybody. And again, I'm going to let TC get more into that, but to be a part of it and to know TC has truly been an honor, along with getting to know him and his wife better. So, TC, how are you today?
I'm fine, my brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm always all right and working to get better every day. I'm glad that you could come and share some of your precious time with us, and you heard me talking. Would you like to elaborate a little bit better than me?
That would be a little bit difficult to do, but just to let your many listeners know that the United States Black Cavalry is out there. We're very much involved. This month we've been very involved with this being Black History Month. We've just completed 8 presentations over the last 3 days at the Department of Corrections facilities here in New Jersey. And just last week we were down in Delaware, in Dover, Delaware, at Booker T. Washington Elementary School there doing 4 presentations. So we've been quite busy this month.
Outstanding, and believe it or not, you'll also be involved in a presentation, the United States Black Cavalry Family will also be involved in a presentation tomorrow in Virginia at one of the local churches.
I know you stay involved out there, man. I keep up with you as much as I can, but you are a busy man. You and your lovely wife are out there constantly, not just pushing the efforts of the Black Cavalry, but you're just in the community doing a lot of good things, man. And I've always been impressed with your involvement and continue to be so.
No problem. We're trying to keep up with the big boys and women, and definitely you guys have set a pace, and we're just trying to keep up with it. Anyway,
well, you know,
a little bit about Cavalry Family, and also we'd like you to share some of your phenomenal knowledge on African American history.
Well, as far as the Cavalry is concerned, we're having a slow growth, but that is expected. As you know, I'm celebrating my 55th year of riding this year, and that's a whole lot of riding.
Yes,
sir. I have a lot of friends in the riding community, but many of those friends are already associated with organizations and doing good things in the community, and we certainly don't want to pull people away from those things. But many of those same friends know what our mission is in the Cavalry, and so they reach out to us, and whenever they're able to come out and help us at a food bank or at a shelter or at a mission, someplace where they can really have hands-on experiences with the less fortunate in our communities, then they tend to do so. And that's what we're all about as an organization. A lot of places, they just don't need money given to them. They need people that are willing to come in and roll their sleeves up and give of their time and their efforts to assist those that are less fortunate. And I know with a lot of the programs that you do in the community with the youth, you're well aware of what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, me
as
and...
Far
As far as
Black History Month is concerned, we make an effort whenever I give presentations to let people know that we do not specifically teach Black history. We teach American history and the roles that Black played in that history, regardless of what race you are, Black, white, Asian, Latino, whatever your race or ethnic background, all of us played some role in America's history. And so we like to think of it as Black, as American history. But when we speak of American history, then we have to let people know that Blacks played a significant role in that, and much of that role was not documented. And much of it was not documented by Blacks because, as you know, that it was against the law for us to read or write, so a lot of our history was not documented. It's wonderful that we can go to the Library of Congress and other places and find these wonderful stories that were written during the Civil War and during other wars that this country has experienced, but we will find very little written by Blacks, and that was simply because we were unable to read or write. But we had this wonderful thing in the Black history, in our Black communities and our Black culture, and that was to have the elderly, our grandmothers and great-grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers would keep our history in their minds, much like the Native Americans did. They would keep our history in their minds, and whenever they got around family, like at a family reunion or so, they would pass down that history. The Native Americans did the same thing, and those elders in the Native American cultures that kept the history of their tribes were called wisdom keepers, and I think that's just a beautiful title for someone that knows their history, wisdom keepers. So we try to pass on information to all the places that we go to, and we try to make everyone in our audience wisdom keepers by the time they leave the presentations.
It's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. Actually, this week I got the opportunity to speak with a gentleman and a lady that are basically the guardians of Dr. Richard Pritchard. Mr. Pritchard was actually one of the first African Americans to actually play concert pianist as a concert pianist. He also was very instrumental in the first African American month celebration in New York back in 1965. That was a real educational show for me.
Oh, okay. I think I saw you mention that on your website. That was interesting to me. I did not know that. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, every time I talk to the lady and gentleman that are basically his carekeepers, it's always phenomenal. I mean, this guy was just awesome. He was an ambassador, all of the above, but, you know, it's amazing. And like you were saying a minute ago about the libraries, you know, it's also sad that only 4% of the population even have a library card. You know, so
yeah.
Because of people like you, this information is getting out, and that's critical.
Well, you know, our younger generation also has access to the Internet. The problem with the Internet is that a lot of the information that's put on the Internet is subjective, and a lot of it may not be entirely true. So they shouldn't just use that as their only source. They can use it as a starting point, but they certainly need to look at more than one person's opinion of something before they believe that it's fact. We found, I'm sure you've seen so many things passed around as attachments to emails, things that people are claiming are true, and then we find out in the long run that it's really not true at all. It's just a rumor that someone has started. But we need to get into the history books, and there are many reliable places on the Internet that adults and young people can go to get answers to their history questions. I'm just saying don't accept the first thing that you see. Dig a little deeper and see what else you can find out about your background, your ancestors, your culture.
Right, and also for some of our older people who really don't know much about their own culture at all, and we're talking about all nationalities, but the black population has to be given a little bit more tutelage because of the fact that the history that was shared with them a lot of times was not true to begin with.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And speaking of our elderly people, it does your heart a world of good if you can go in and visit with some of our elderly people. We have a lot of our people that are in nursing homes now simply because people can't afford anything else, and those people need our attention. So whenever we see that there's someone in our communities that are in nursing homes and they have very little of their family left, we should make an effort to go in and show those people that we still care.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I was telling all of the listeners that you are heavily involved in the motorcycle community, and, of course, that you also used to be the man running one of the largest African-American motorcycle organizations in the United States. But, I also told him that you are a historian and definitely a fountain of information when it comes to African-American history and history in general, along with your how many years did you do in the Air Force before you retired as an E-9?
26 years.
Outstanding.
A little over 26 years.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Well, what else would you like to share with everybody along with the history and, of course, the organization knowledge?
Well, in that time in the Air Force, the 26 years I spent in the Air Force, I purposely requested a lot of time overseas because I wanted for myself and for my children to experience different cultures. So we were lucky, and they were able to travel with me every place except Vietnam and Korea, but they spent time in Spain and Guam and Hawaii and all over Europe. So they got to experience a lot of the different cultures and to appreciate the cultures of others. So I'm very proud of my children for doing that. As far as the history of the organization is concerned, I think the Buffalo Soldiers, I was proud to be their president for 4 years. I was proud to be their first ambassador. And I see that they're continuing to grow. And here in Jersey, I still have an opportunity, since I was the founder of the Jersey chapter here, I still have an opportunity to work with them on many of the projects in the community. And, of course, my wife is still a member of the Buffalo Soldiers, and whenever they have an event, I'm very supportive of it. I don't like the idea of the way I had to leave the organization, but that still doesn't mean that I don't have an appreciation for all the people that are in the organization and the good that they're still trying to do in the community.
Right, but I really like the fact that with the Black Cavalry family, your approach is different, your way of seeing things is different, and the actions that you take are a little different. And when I say that, I mean that, you know, a lot of organizations will give money. However, the Black Cavalry family is not only trying to also give money when it's possible, but you're also putting hands on. You're actually giving them face time. You're actually giving them the most precious commodity that any of us have, which is your time, along with your effort. And that's just phenomenal. And that's one of the reasons that I truly have a lot of respect, a ton of respect for the Black Cavalry family, and would encourage anybody and everybody listening to the sound of my voice to share this with other people, because you don't have to be a motorcycle rider to be a member of this particular organization and also to give back.
You're exactly right. We welcome the membership of anyone or the association of anyone that sees what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish in the community. And if they want to be a part of that, they're certainly welcome to do so. They can come along on some of the presentations with us to see what we are about. They can go to some of the nursing homes with us, some of the veterans homes that I encourage all Americans to do. They're able to do that and not have to take on membership. I think, Z, and I know you know this from your heart because you do a lot in the community for the children, but I don't think there's anything that makes you feel better than to do something and to simply get a thanks for it. I remember years ago I was riding through West Virginia, and there was an old lady cutting her lawn, and her husband was sitting on the porch. They happened to be a white couple. And I pulled over on the bike, and I showed the lady my law enforcement badge at that time. And I told her, go sit down. I'll finish cutting your grass for her. Well, a neighbor saw me cutting the grass and called the police. And the police showed up at their home thinking that something other than a good deed was going to take place there. And it's a shame that things are that way. But we were able to help them out, sit on the porch with them and drink a glass of iced tea, or I think it was lemonade, and just ride away. And I think that left a good impression with them by just saying that here's a nice young man, regardless of his color, who was willing to stop and help us and ask for nothing. But there are still people that are out there that will try to find something bad even in good deeds.
Yeah, you know how it goes. That's why you got to, as you say, you got to try to stay around positive people and stay away from that negativity, because that negativity breeds negativity, but that positive light will eventually make them go away.
Absolutely. So we don't give up. We just keep trying, man. We keep trying.
Yes, sir. And another thing that you also push is us working together as a people. You know, again, this isn't really about color, but in a lot of communities, there's a tendency in some particular cultures where they don't really bond together. And when they do bond together, it's not for the right things. And we're trying to help people understand that they need to bond together for the right things, because then everybody wins, including them. You know, relationships with character and, of course, honor and integrity.
That is so important in our community, especially with the very high numbers of our black men and women now going to prison. It's just a shame. This past week while we were in the prison, Jan had an opportunity, my wife Jan had an opportunity to speak to over 100 women, 90% of them black, that were in prison. And just to know that somebody would come in and dedicate time to talk with them was very heartwarming for them. They sent us a lot of notes of thanking us just to come in and to do a good deed for them. Not that we agree with what they did that put them in there, but certainly we have to go in and try to let them know that there's a better way of life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I totally agree. You know, I've gone with a couple of other clubs to different things, and everybody wants to sit around, drink a beer. Nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to put in the time, you know.
Yeah.
And then they want to complain when you do ask them for money, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. I've got a really quick story that I think you'll like. Wearing colors one day, Black Calvary colors, go with the group that are giving out a wheelchair or wheelchairs.
Uh-huh.
They were giving out the wheelchairs, and while they're giving out the wheelchairs, there's this one young man, and after he gets his wheelchair, he, you know, go to walk away. Well, as they're going to walk away, the young man grabs my leg, right? So I'm like, okay, hey, everything okay? And the little kid looks in your face and says, I just wanted to look in your face because I want to remember you. And you say, you want to do what? I want to remember you. Thank you. And I'm like, okay. I said, well, why do you want to remember me? There's a whole bunch of people here. The kid says, I want to remember you because when we meet in heaven, I want to remember you. Or I want to recognize you. That's deep.
Epic.
That's deep.
Yeah, that's heavy, man. But there are kids out there that think they're forgotten, man. Their fathers are locked up and their mothers are on drugs, and they're just you can't realize the number of kids that are out there really making it on their own. And somebody's got to reach out for them, even if it's just giving 30 minutes a week or so. Somebody has to reach out to them to let them know that they still have some worth and that there's still somebody out here that believes in them.
Yes, sir. I totally agree. Before we run out of time, could you actually, really quickly, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody would like to call in, we're a little short on time, but you are always welcome to call in. If you'd like to call 323-443-7471, again, that's 323-443-7471. I also see that we have a couple of people in the chat room. If you have a question you'd like to ask TC, please chat it in, or you're welcome to call in. Again, the chat room is open for anybody that's interested. Go ahead, TC, please.
I'm just letting you know how proud I am of you, man, and the number of listeners you have on board now. In a short period of time, you've really made a mark for yourself, man. And you continue to do those things with your expertise in the martial arts and working with the children in that arena. Man, you're real special, and I am so gratified to have you as a member of our organization, you and Danelle, your lovely wife. So please give her my love when you go home.
I will. Well, thank you for having us. TC, could you share with us the information on how to get involved with the Black Calvary family, as in contact information, website, that type of stuff?
Absolutely. You can. I'm always open to phone calls, so you can go online to www.unitedstatesblackcalvary.com, just using the letters USBC family, F, USBCF.com. And from that site, you can get our home phone numbers. You can call us or email us or contact us through Facebook or Twitter, either any way that you want to get in touch with us. If you need us to come into your communities to talk with your groups or your organizations or your church or your school, we do that. We do that without cost to anyone. All you have to do is just let us know, and we'll certainly come in and help out as much as we can.
Yes, sir. Also, for all the listeners, on the bottom of the site is also the website, so you can click on that. And we also encourage everyone to share the show with everybody that you can, because, again, this is a community that's out there to help each community. And it's actually one that's going to actually put hands on the community to help them with the history, to help them with the development of their children. Of course, we can't do it all, but we can actually give you some information so that they see hope. Please continue, TC.
This is a request of my daughter, man, who read the books that you brought to one of the presentations that we did in Maryland last year. She wanted to know if you had any more of those books. She would like to get her hands on some for the young women that she's working with in the community.
Well, I'll get back with you, and we'll see what we can do. Maybe we can get them to send you guys a case. That would be good.
I appreciate that. Other than that, now, I want to thank your listeners. I hope they'll take the time to look at the websites and to give us a call or email us if they think that we can help them in any way. And certainly between you and I and other members of the Black Calvary, we will certainly make an effort to reach out to them and to help them wherever possible.
Yes, sir. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very positive thing. You know, we're not trying to say that we're better than anybody or anything like that. We're a group that's looking to help others, and while helping others, we also know that in the end we help ourselves because, you know, we are a community. All of us are a community, and all of us are family, and you don't have to be black to join the Black Calvary family or come and get us to come to your event or your function and actually present. Well, TC, thank you very much for coming on the show. I'll probably be calling you shortly after the show. But
thank you, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you again for everything that you've done, everything you are doing. And as people constantly tell me, I'm blessed, and I'm blessed because I have got the opportunity to know people like yourself and Jan. So thank you very much. Have a great day, a wonderful life, all of the above, and live long and prosper.
Thank you, my brother. My love to you and your family and to all your listeners. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you. We're over 32,000 now, so it's growing.
I'm proud of you, brother. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, trust me, it shocks me, but I'm humbled. How you say, if nobody's listening, all I'm doing is talking to myself.
Take
right.
care, sis.
Take all care. Right.